Living in a city, any city, has its ups and downs. One of the ups in a big city is relatively easy access to transportation, no car required. No city in our listening area is quite in that realm, but efforts are always being made to connect people and transportation without the requirement of a vehicle, a motor vehicle anyway. Get ready for a discussion of transportation planning around our region. Adam Gomez is in the studio with me. He's a transportation demand planner at Rogue Valley Transportation District. Welcome, Adam. Good to have you back on The Exchange.
Good morning, Jeff.
Good to see you here. Jenna Stanky-Marmon is with us once again. She's not only responsible for the Bear Creek Greenway and her job with Jackson County, but is here as chairperson of the Oregon Bicycle and Pedestrian Advisory Committee. Jenna, good to see you here again.
Good morning. Good to be here.
And by phone from Roseburg, Dick Dolgonis, who is with Bike Walk Roseburg. Welcome, Dick.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Good to have you all here. Adam, let's start with you. Transportation Demand Management. That's an interesting acronym we get for TDM. What do you do?
Yes, I like to actually like to use the word transportation options a little bit easier for folks to digest. Basically, what I do is I help people with mobility. That's kind of the reason I get up in the morning when I'm excited to start my job. So I'll work with businesses on finding a program that'll best fit their employees to get to work, whether that be a ride-sharing program, carpooling, a bus pass program, or getting them set up with bike commuting, so doing programs, bike safety, getting them information on bike maps, anything to help them get to work easier. I also work with local schools, so Southern Oregon University, Rogue Community College, as well as a variety of elementary schools. So what we do is just promote mobility, a variety of transportation options, make it easier to get to and from places without having to own a car or have access to an automobile, so we can all enjoy the benefits of less cars on the road. So reduced traffic congestion, improved health, improved air quality, all those great things.
And if you do this well, you can get people on your buses as well.
Absolutely, too, mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is kind of like a concierge service from the sounds of it. You get a chance to visit with the businesses and say, okay, well, our buses are here and you're here, so let's find a way to fill that gap.
Exactly. It's not even, you know, I don't consider myself a salesperson at all. It's finding out what options work best for their employees. So if they're next to a bus stop, that's perfect. We can survey their employees, see if they're interested in a bus pass program, if that's going to fit their employees. If not, we could try ride sharing, carpooling, biking, you know, anything that fits their employees, anything that'll help them get to work easier.
So, Jenna Stanky-Marmon, let's talk about what you do for Jackson County and the larger vision for the state with the Bicycle and Pedestrian Advisory Committee.
So for Jackson County, like you mentioned, I work with getting the greenway improved and expanded. So, and actually one of the things that we are just embarking on is a regional active transportation plan that will focus on how people get to the greenway. So really looking at that full connection so that we don't see as many people putting bikes on their cars and driving to a trailhead. We'd actually like to see them actually biking to the trailhead and biking on the trail and then getting to their destination. And then I'm actually current chairperson as the of the Oregon Bicycle and Pedestrian Advisory Committee. And that group, we typically had been a grant review committee. And the funding has changed, and there's a lot more local control. And so we have less of that role and more of a policy role. We also do, actually, as soon as we got rid of the Bike Ped grant program, we now look at the Connect Oregon program. So we're back in the game of reviewing grant applications, but we're also looking at how do we best look at statewide biking and walking and
issues. So the Bike Ped program, the grant program, no longer exists?
No, the projects are actually now administered through the local regions, the ODOT regions. So each ODOT region holds a STIP enhanced program solicitation. So local governments can request funding through that program.
And since you're on an advisory committee, who does most of your advice go to?
Mostly to the Oregon Transportation Commission, the OTC.
Okay, so they're taking a look at that. Dick Dolgonis at Bike Walk Roseburg. Do you work in the transportation business as well, or is this strictly a sideline for you?
Yeah, I'm actually retired at this point, so it's a little bit of passion and just something I see as good for the community.
So give us a sketch then. Tell us about Bike Walk Roseburg.
All right. It was originally formed as an advisory group when the city of Roseburg was creating a bicycle and pedestrian plan. At that point, I actually worked for the city of Roseburg, and one of the things I used to tell the members of that committee was getting the plan in place is only half the job. You have to stay around. So they did stay around. We've since changed names and made some other changes, but the idea is to just kind of advocate and push and be the eyes and ears for implementation of that plan and maybe in a larger sense, making biking and walking a little bit easier in Roseburg and the Umpqua Valley.
Is Roseburg a relatively easy place to bike, or is it getting that way now? It didn't used to be. Give us an idea of where things stand.
Well, you know, it's kind of funny. We have this wonderful, what we call the bike path, that's been along the South Umpqua River for 30, I don't know, probably close to 40 years. So we've always had that, but the rest of the town has some real constraints. Basically, older streets that don't have provisions. So, you know, a lot of it is trying to figure out how to make that work. But the other part is, how do we make it so that people feel comfortable, are willing to try? You know, what are the resources people have? How can we do a little education so people understand that, oh, yeah, when you're walking or biking and you're and there's a driver, the drivers need to be on their toes and looking out for people so people feel safe.
Can't make that right turn in front of the bike lane when somebody's that close to the intersection where you're turning.
You got it.
Yeah, everybody seems to be learning that one slowly. Dick Delgonis is one of our guests on the exchange. He's with Bike Walk Roseburg. We also have Jenna Stanky-Marmon, who's the chairperson of the Oregon Bicycle and Pedestrian Advisory Committee, and Adam Gomez from Rogue Valley Transportation District. Your calls and emails welcome as we talk about non-car transportation options and how we can make better use of what we got out there for ways to get to and fro without necessarily using a car or truck. Join us on the exchange at 800-838-3760 with questions, comments, or ideas. Emails go to jx@jeffnet.org. What Dick is talking about in Roseburg sounds similar to what you were talking about, Jenna, in the Rogue Valley, where you know the greenways nearby. It's just the access to it can be tricky. I can relate. From my own house, I could go straight downhill, but I'd be crashing through the blackberries through a couple people's backyards. Or I can go a half a mile this way down that really, really steep hill at the end of Talon Avenue, or 3 miles the other way.
Right. And at the end of Talon Avenue, it's kind of difficult to cross Highway 99, right? So those are exactly the kinds of connections that we're looking at. How do we get people from the south side of Talon to the Greenway? How do we get people from Ashland to the Greenway? And then from within Medford, you know, how do we get people through the community and make those parallel perpendicular connections? Medford actually was a recipient of the Connect Oregon 5 funding for the Larson Creek Greenway, which is an extension over there to the southeast, which is going to be a really critical connection because there is a barrier in Barnett Road. There's only very few people, we call them the strong and fearless, who will ride on roads like Barnett Road. So we really need to figure out how to make comfortable, convenient, and safe connections in order to really change the paradigm of how people are traveling through our communities.
That's an interesting thing, the Larson Creek Greenway, though, because that's an area potentially that's earmarked for growth. I mean, there have been some developments out there already, but we're talking potentially massive growth out in that part of Medford. So that would be a fairly important arterial for people getting to work in ways that don't involve cars.
Yeah, absolutely. And then if you look at the southeast area now, you've got a lot of major employers in the medical industry and then also St. Mary's. And there's quite a bit of traffic congestion already, you know, into that southeast area. So the Larson Creek connection, so this next little stretch gives you an alternative to either going up the Manor Hill, going on Barnett, or going all the way around on Siskiyou. So it's a really critical connection. So that's what we're looking at the statewide level, is looking a lot at these critical last mile pieces that make a very critical connection where, you know, there's already the facilities to get you almost there, but it's that last piece that's a major barrier that's really preventing people from biking.
You and Adam at RVTD clearly have worked together before, but I mean, how much do you guys get a chance to compare notes on ways in which the things that one of you is doing could affect the other one?
Yeah, I think we're always kind of in constant contact, just letting each other know what we're working on. I mean, you know, I work more on programs. Jenna works a lot on infrastructure, which is great, to kind of compare what's going on in the Greenway, how you can help kind of direct people to use that. You know, I think it's really important when we get more people using our transportation system, we'll get more advocates, more people engaged in the planning process, which is only going to better our community.
Dick Delgonis, give us an idea of how much you work with the bus, the transit district there in the Roseburg area, and if there are things that work back and forth for you and Bike Walk Roseburg.
You know, we haven't actually engaged much with the transit system here, but they're pretty good. One of the things, for example, every one of their buses has a bike rack, so people are able to use transit. And I think that gets at that last mile piece that people talk about. Okay, you may be able to take the transit somewhere, but then what do? Well, if you can grab your bike and ride the last mile or two or three or whatever it is, It makes the system work. So we haven't really had to engage with them because, as far as we're concerned, the more of their transit buses that are running, the better off we're all going to be.
Give us your wish list. What are some of the things you would like to see in Roseburg that would encourage more people to bike and to walk around town?
Well, if you put it that way, our two major east-west arterials are both really big problems. And part of it is geographically. We've got the river running through town. We've got the VA and our huge, wonderful city park kind of right in the middle of town. So it's really hard to get the east-west access. And if we could find out a way to make both of those easier for bikes and more comfortable for walkers, we'd be thrilled. It's a huge problem, though.
Is there any discussion of something like a road diet, which I know for some people is them's fighting words?
Not yet. Part of it is, even so the city has the bicycle and pedestrian plan, when those areas were looked at in the plan, the plan basically said that's going to take a lot more work, and so it kind of punted. Now what's happening is the city is going to be updating their transportation system plan. So we expect at that point to be fully engaged in that, and we want to see some major changes there.
We can talk about anything you want to talk about here on The Exchange. If you'd like to join us about non-car transportation options with Dick Dolgonis at Bike Walk Roseburg, Jenna Stanky-Marmon at Jackson County, and with the Bear Creek Greenway, and is the chairperson of the Oregon Bicycle and Pedestrian Advisory Committee. We're going to spend more time talking about her titles than anything else. Adam Gomez is with us as well. He's a transportation demand planner at Rogue Valley Transportation District. Join us on The Exchange, 800-838-3760, by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Adam, you got an event coming up, I noticed, this spring called the Rogue Commute Challenge. Tell us about this.
Yeah, so this is pretty similar to our really popular Oregon Driverless Challenge, which is a statewide challenge encouraging and promoting people to use alternative modes of transportation. So, of course, walking, biking, carpooling, taking the bus. But we're really looking at doing something to target area employers and employees here in the Valley. So the fun thing about this challenge is it's actually going to be team-based. So local work sites are going to be able to come together, create teams, log their trips in the Driverless Connect. So try walking to work, biking to work, taking our bus, or just carpooling with coworkers. This event's during May, so it's May 9th. To the 15th, so 1 week to be able to try out your options. We're also been giving away, rewarding some great prizes to both individuals and teams. So just a fun way of engaging the business community and employers and try to get them to kind of educate themselves about their options available to them and improve mobility as well.
So how do they earn points toward the awards?
So they'll be able to go online, use the state's rideshare program database, Driverless Connect, create a free profile, and just log their trips in there. So any bike trip, walk trip, carpool trip, or transit trip will count toward their team workplace goal, and also count to their individual goals to be able to earn some prizes.
Is this something new, or have you done something like this in previous years?
So this is actually our first time doing the Road Commute Challenge. And again, we've done the Oregon Driverless Challenge statewide. It's really fun. It's gained a lot of traction in the community. But we want to do something a little more, to target business community. You know, there's the commute trip accounts for, a vast number of vehicle miles traveled here in the Valley. So just trying to do a fun way to engage the business community.
What information do you have about of your own rides? How many of those are business related in the sense of people getting to and from work?
We have a lot of them. A lot of our trips are school trips, health trips, but we do have a lot of business trips. We have bus pass programs with several businesses here in the Valley and working on more. It's a very important option for people to get around the Valley if they don't have access to an automobile, if they can't afford gas, if they're having difficulty getting to work. It's a need in this community to be able to get around, move around, without owning a vehicle.
As the popularity of bicycles grows, and of course people can put buses or bikes on the buses in the Rogue Valley on the RVTD buses, I wonder if you're getting to the point where you're maxing out in some cases.
You know, we are. That's something we've taken a look at, especially on the Route 10, your most popular route from
the Medford to Ashland.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, during those peak hours, you know, we have three racks on our bus in front of our bus, which usually a lot of transit agencies have two, but we added three. But they're usually full during the peak hours. So we're looking at ways of partnering with cities, maybe adding bike racks, secure locations for them to lock up their bikes. You know, as Dick was saying, a lot of people are accessing our transit stops, riding their bikes, and also using that bike connection as their last mile connection to wherever they're getting to. So it's something we're looking at kind of improving, taking a little bit better look at.
Jenna Stanky, I wonder if there are things that have to happen at places of work that have to make some changes to accommodate people who want to ride bikes to work. I think about the fact that, not that I'd necessarily do it in the morning because of the time I have to be at work, but when you get to work and you've ridden up a steep hill or something, you come in all sweaty. I mean, do employers have to have showers and things for their employees who bike to work?
Well, ideally, absolutely. You know, especially in an area like this where we have a regional, you know, a lot of people live in Ashland and work in Medford or vice versa, so people are traveling more than a couple miles. It's pretty hard to not want to shower after riding your bike five or more miles. But, you know, I think more and more employers are recognizing that they want to attract a talented work base, and they're seeing these important transportation options as really the baseline for attracting, you know, this great talented workforce. So they're looking at adding showers. They're looking at locating in communities that have transportation options because they know that they're going to be able to attract the best and the brightest.
Do people move to Oregon because it's got a reputation as a bicycle-friendly place or a non-car-friendly place anyway?
Absolutely. Yes, absolutely. I mean, if you look at places like Portland and the metro area, Eugene, I think a lot of people are moving here because of that reputation. And there's a good population of folks who, you know, not just young, but also people who are retiring who want to have options. They don't want to hang up their car keys and then be isolated for the rest of their lives. They want to have robust options so they can still be active members of our communities.
Dick Dolgonis, is there a spillout to a community like Roseburg? I mean, obviously a place like Portland has, you know, the major painted bike lanes and stuff like that, stuff that Roseburg doesn't have yet. But I mean, do people at least take a look at Oregon, you think, in the first place because of like what we're just talking about with Jenna and end up in a place like Roseburg?
Yeah, well, I guess, yeah, reputation matters. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things that we try to impress upon our community leaders mm-hmm. is, this isn't about, well, as Jenna said, the hammerheads. This is about how do you make it so that the 30 or 35-year-olds that maybe you're looking to move to a nicer community can look at Roseburg and say, hey, you know, this place works. We can get around easily. We can take kids out and be safe. And, you know, I don't want to brag, but this is a wonderful place to live. We've got everything here. So we just really need to polish it just a bit. And I think we just sometimes don't know how good we have it here.
What are some of the things that you do over the course of a year with Bike Walk Roseburg to try to get the message out and to get more people excited about biking and walking around town?
Yeah, we have media outreach, so we try to let people know what's going on. We've done some different events over the years, some more successful than others. We try to point people to our website, which is, believe it or not, bikewalkroseburg.org, where there's resources. For that matter, we do have some high-visibility vests that say Bike Walk Roseburg on them, just trying to let people know that we are out there. If they have questions, they can get a hold of us. Our website obviously has a place where people can send us messages. And a lot of what we do is try to be a resource also for our, not only our local government, the city here, but ODOT. We've got some major projects ODOT's been working on for a while, and we've been engaging with them quite heavily, trying to make sure that when all this money is spent, the result is getting us to having a community that's a little easier to walk or ride in.
That must be somewhat easier. I was going to ask you about the fact that since Roseburg, the ODOT's regional office is in Roseburg, you probably have an ear at least closer to you physically.
Well, yeah, and I happen to know at least one of the Roseburg planners who I think rides to work. So it's not quite as uphill as it could be, but you know, a lot of it is still that institutional way of doing business, and so there's still a little push needed.
Okay, let's take a call here from Ann and Eugene. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking about non-car transportation options.
Good morning.
Hi.
One of the aspects that you haven't covered is the aspect of health. 70% of American adults are overweight or obese, and exercise is by bicycling, by commuting bicycling for the nearly 41 years is a way that I, as a very low metabolism person, has kept my weight in balance, and I'm so much healthier for it. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Ann. Appreciate that. Can I get an amen from Janice? Thank you, Marmon.
Absolutely. Yes. And if you think about it, you know, it's not just bicycling, which is obviously a great activity, but also just the basic form of walking. You know, we've created some barriers to walking in our communities where we've expanded because our metrics are all around automobiles and moving automobiles. So I know you had Jeanette Sadiq Khan on last week, and she mentioned this, that there's these new metrics that we're coming up with, and there was ways to look at streets in a different way and looking at the resources for people, not just for moving automobiles. So hopefully we'll make it easier for people to cross the street and make that barrier and then get that build that exercise into their daily routines, which is so critical to keeping people healthy.
It seems like over time, communities, cities are certainly building around things like bulb outs and the more obvious crosswalks and all those sorts of things.
Absolutely, yeah. We've got to get people across the street or they're not going to walk.
All right. Lots of ways to get places that don't involve actually gripping onto a steering wheel. You've heard about a few of those, and you can learn more about what's it called again?
Road Commute Challenge. So you can go to roadcommute.com and all information you need is there.
Roadcommute.com. We also have bikewalkroseburg.org. Dick Dolgonis is with Bike Walk Roseburg. Adam Gomez is Transportation Demand Planner at Rogue Valley Transportation District. Janice Stanky Marmon, the chairperson of Oregon's Bicycle and Pedestrian Advisory Committee. Thank you all for joining us on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jeff.
All right, take care.